It's the Scotty Myers Show.
Hey, welcome to this week's edition of the show. Of course, I'm your host, Scotty Myers. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I'm in the process of moving, and dear God, that is hell. It really is. There's nothing good about moving at all. It's just brutal. The packing, the moving, the unpacking, the organizing. And then as you're packing stuff, you're like, do I need this? Can I just sell this? But then I don't have enough time to sell it. Oh, anyway, I never want to move again. I know I will, but oi. Let's get into the stuff this week. I want to start with the Johnny Depp Amber Heard trial. It is fascinating to watch. As we record this, Amber Heard is on the stand. She's telling her side of the story, and it is what it is. I don't want to say that I don't believe her, because I hate discounting anyone's, you know, potential situation, right? But she's not coming across as the most believable witness. I'll say that. I'm definitely leaning more on the Johnny Depp side than on the Amber Heard side. But I will say, they're just two people that shouldn't be together. Regardless of if she made it up, she didn't make it up. They bring out the worst in each other. So the fact that they're apart is good. I think, you know, and I'm sure this will happen, but once the trial is over, they should just forget the other one exists on planet Earth. Like, once this trial is done, don't talk about them anymore. Don't, you know, just go on about your life. If you can. It's kind of crazy. The internet, of course, is obsessed with the trial. And I can understand that. As I said, it's compelling television to watch. I'm not a reality TV show fan, but this is easily the best reality TV show ever. Ever. It is. And I don't know why it's so compelling to watch. It just is. Maybe it's that I've got the mind of a six-year-old, and the fact that some of the testimony involves someone shitting on a bed, I find hilarious and captivating, but really just strange. And because of this, Johnny Depp has been in the news, and so has some of his projects that he lost, and a big one being a sixth Pirates of the Caribbean movie. And being a Disney fan, I went to the first Pirates movie when it first came out, The Curse of the Black Pearl, with zero expectations, going, there's no way they could have turned that ride, a ride I love, by the way, probably my second favorite ride at Disney World, maybe third. And I was like, there's no way they're going to make this a compelling film. And they did. I remember coming out of that first Pirates movie going, holy shit, that movie was fantastic. And I've enjoyed them all. Yes, it's kind of a law of diminishing returns on them. And I definitely felt the third one was very bloated because they just didn't want to get rid of characters. They kept introducing cool characters and were like, no, we're going to keep them around for the next one and the next one. And it was like, you got too many fucking characters. But so Pirate 6 has been in the news a lot right now. And the strong rumor is that they're going to do a sixth Pirates film without Johnny Depp. So without Captain Jack Sparrow. And the word is Margot Robbie is going to take the lead as Red. Now, if you've been to Disney World or Disneyland recently, you'll notice Red is a strong female pirate on the ride. She's kind of a new addition to the ride, and people like her, so they want to make her the lead of a sixth movie. I don't think this is a terrible idea. I really don't. And for a couple of reasons. One, I think, you know, Disney obviously has this new character on the ride. It'd be great to be able to market that character a bit more, and to market that character more, they need a movie. So I like the idea of Red maybe being the focal point of the film. I also think that was one of the kind of issues, and I'm not alone in this thought, that Jack Sparrow is a great side character. As great as the character is, he's almost too wacky to be your main character. You almost need that, you know, he's the folly of the main characters. And so you could use Jack Sparrow as a folly to Red. But what I would really like is if they did a Pirate 6, Johnny Depp's not involved. He sits on the sideline for this one. And when they come back to do a Pirate 7, hopefully Pirate 6 is successful, that's when you bring Captain Jack Sparrow back. I just think, allow the character Red to have her own space to breathe and to be developed as a character. And hopefully the writers and Margot Robbie, who I have the utmost faith in, deliver a memorable character. Then we have anticipation and excitement for what happens if Red is Captain Jack Sparrow. Ooh, that could be interesting. Whereas if Jack Sparrow's just in the next one, that anticipation doesn't build. So I actually think on a marketing level, it would work way better for Disney to do it that way. And I'd be on board for that. I know Johnny Depp said in his testimony that he would not return to Pirates even for like $300 million. Bullshit. Sorry, I just had to sneeze. $300 million, you're going to return to anything. Anything. That'd be ridiculous to turn that down. And I know he doesn't need the money, but still. Somebody comes and sits down across the table from me and go, listen, we would like you to be in our film, and we would like to give you $300 million. Find me a person on the planet that says no. Right? Now, I'm not saying Disney is not going to pay him $300 million to do another Pirates movie. I think, they'll have to come to some sort of agreement. But again, to me, the best plan of attack for Disney, I also think for Johnny Depp, because it would allow him to finish up this legal stuff, have a little bit of breathing room, maybe do a project before he jumps back into Pirates, and then have Red and Sparrow meet in Pirates 7. There you go, Disney. Little free help for you. The Amber Heard Johnny Depp trial is also obviously spilled into the DC universe. So we'll get into the DC news. We'll start with Amber Heard. There's been an online petition that is now over 4 million signatures to have her removed from Aquaman 2. And depending on the report you read, I've seen some reports out there that Warner Brothers Discovery has had an emergency meeting. They seem to have a lot of those recently. But that they've had an emergency meeting about Amber Heard in the Aquaman sequel. Even by her testimony, her role has been trimmed significantly. Apparently, it's between 9 to 10 minutes of film time is all that we have Mara for in Aquaman 2, which is a letdown. Mara's a fantastic character. If you read Aquaman comics or know anything of Aquaman lore, she's a great character and deserves more screen time, but I understand why her role was trimmed down. But now it's gotten to the point where it might be best to cut her out altogether, and some news outlets are reporting that that is exactly the case, that they are going to cut her from Aquaman 2. The question then becomes, do you just, if you keep the script the same with that 9 to 10 minutes of screen time for Mara, do you recast, right? Or do you just cut the 9 to 10 minutes altogether? I would love to see them recast. I know there was a while back DC supposedly had meetings with Emilia Clarke, who has joined the Marvel Cinematic Universe. She would be a great choice to take over the role of Mara. So I don't know if that's still an option, but that would be my first phone call, would be to Emilia Clarke. I think she could step into that role really, really well and portray it the way that it should be portrayed. Especially if they allow her to have a more fleshed out role, maybe come the third Aquaman movie, which there will be a third. So, that would be my hope if they cut her, is Amber Heard, if they cut her out of the film, they reshoot the Mira scenes and recast Mira, just because she's so important to the Aquaman lore. We'll see what happens with Aquaman 2. The other emergency meeting topic, supposedly, was about Ezra Miller and the situation they have found themselves in Hawaii, the legal troubles and whatnot. Now, the story that came out at one point was that Warner Brothers Discovery wanted to cut ties from them and just move on from Ezra. And then I saw another story that said that Warner Brothers Discovery was aware that there was much more to the story of what happened to Ezra Miller in Hawaii, and that they were standing behind them, and also that they were seeking help, that Ezra Miller was talking to a counselor or talking to a therapist or something along those lines, which, regardless of what happens with them in The Flash, I really hope that they do that, because I think they could use it. I think we all could use it, but especially after seeing what they've just been through, it would be, I think, beneficial. So we'll have to see. They are not going to get rid of Ezra Miller in The Flash in this film, because it's done, with the exception of some CGI effects. So the only thing they could do, if they did get to a point where they wanted to replace Ezra, maybe a post-credit scene. You recast Barry, and a different multiverse Barry Allen shows up, or maybe Wally West shows up. You know, Wally is beloved too, so you could easily transition from one Flash to another there. We'll have to wait and see how things go with Ezra Miller and the legal issues in Hawaii, but at least as of now, it looks like they are still the Flash going forward. So that's something else we'll have to keep our eye on. In some good news for DC, legal troubles are never good news. They have a podcast called Batman Unburied, and it took the top spot on Spotify's podcast chart, ousting Joe Rogan out of that top spot. So congrats to Batman, showing that there is no one Batman cannot defeat. Whether you like Joe Rogan or you don't, he's a juggernaut in the podcast scene. I wish I had a very small fraction of his audience size, because then I could just do this for a living, and then there'd be more podcasts, they'd be more consistent, I'd be so happy. maybe I have to shave my head and learn mixed martial arts. Maybe that'll help. But Batman knocked him out of the top spot. So Rogan can't even beat Batman. Moving on to Star Wars, a little bit of some interesting Star Wars news this week as we anxiously await Obi-Wan on Disney Plus. Apparently, Rogue Squadron, the Patty Jenkins Star Wars film, has not been canceled, but it has been, quote, pushed to the side at Lucasfilm and Disney. Pushed to the side to me is a nice way of saying, we're not going to make this movie, but we really don't want to cancel it right now. So we're just going to say, we're pushing it to the side. And then eventually it'd be like, oh shit, yeah, that movie we pushed to the side. You know what, we've moved on. We're not going to do that now. I will be shocked if Rogue Squadron sees the light of day at this point. I really will be. I don't know what happened there. I've heard, you know, there's been different stories about creative differences with Lucasfilm and Patty Jenkins and different things like that. If that's the case, then yeah, maybe she shouldn't make it. I think she's a great filmmaker, so I would love to see her take on Rogue Squadron, but you know, maybe it might be for the best if it doesn't happen. But for now, don't be holding your breath for Rogue Squadron, because as I said, it's been, quote, pushed to the side. One thing that scares me, there's so much good going on in the Star Wars Disney world right now, and I know some people online don't think that, but I am enjoying everything they've been doing. But one thing that does scare me is Rian Johnson, the man behind The Last Jedi, which I stand behind saying is the worst Star Wars film ever. He is still part of the brain trust at Lucasfilm about going forward with the Star Wars universe, which gives me very mixed emotions, because I like Rian Johnson as a filmmaker on his own outside of established properties. Looper was fantastic. Love that fucking movie. Great film. But I don't think he should be given, you know, Skywalkers or anything like that. So if he wants to do a Star Wars project that involves characters we've never seen before, a storyline that, you know, is not as familiar as what was going on in The Last Jedi, maybe that'll work. But I don't like that he's on the board, as it were, sitting around the table and they're going, well, what are we going to do with Baby Yoda? You know, and then it's like, fuck him. know, make him throw his lightsaber away, which he did. And I wonder if that was Ryan Johnson sitting at the table going, you know what? Luke threw his lightsaber away. Maybe he gets that inspiration from Baby Yoda. And that's why. So I know it's Grogu, but still everybody calls him Baby Yoda. But so again, brilliant filmmaker. I just don't know that Star Wars is the sandbox he should be playing in. So it does worry me that he's in on the conversations, as it were. Now, having said that, the shit that's coming looks really good. Andor will be arriving later this summer, which is going to be an interesting thing in that we know what happens to him. I know that's kind of the same with Obi-Wan. We know where Obi-Wan's story ends, but the Andor one's going to be a little bit different, I feel, and knowing what happens to him in Rogue One. I'm excited for the show, and I'll be curious to see how they pull that story off without making us every episode going, oh, he's so cool. Shitty what happens to him. That's what I don't want. And the other Disney Plus Star Wars show that's gearing up production is The Acolyte. We know it seems to be a Sith-heavy show, and now we know when it is set in the Star Wars timeline. Apparently, it will be taking place during the downfall of the High Republic. High Republic has been some books and comic books and things like that. This will be kind of High Republic's first massive entrance into the Star Wars canon universe. Because there's a lot of people, myself included, I'm not reading the young adult Star Wars novels. Or I'm not really reading the comic books either. So I know a little bit of the High Republic from reading news articles, but I'm not super familiar with it. So the fact that this show will be set during the fall of it sounds pretty interesting to me. So I'm very much on board for The Acolyte. Let's switch over to Marvel. Not a whole hell of a lot going on over there right now as they are basking in the glow of the success of Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. But they did, fanfare I might add, drop the She-Hulk trailer, although it's now called She-Hulk Attorney at Law, which I was like, come on, it's Birdman Attorney at Law, not She-Hulk, But anyway, trailer looks okay. I'm going to say that. It looks okay in a couple of ways. One, the story looks, interesting, I'll say. It could be better than the trailer's letting on, but the trailer didn't really grab me when it comes to the story that they're trying to tell. And some of the CGI, and they do have time to fix this, so I'm only pointing it out because they put it out there in the trailer. Some of the CGI is rough. Like, really rough. And they better fix it. Because there are times it looked bad in that trailer. So they have till August 17th. That's when episode 1 is going to hit Disney Plus of She-Hulk Attorney at Law. So hopefully they get that CGI cleaned up. They are talking about a live action Captain Carter project over at Marvel and Disney. Now, I've heard different stories. I've heard one that this will be a Disney Plus series. I've also heard that it could be a movie, that they want to go full-on Captain Carter with her own film. I see this more as a Disney Plus series. I think they want to leave, like, mainstream Captain America for the movies and then have your, you know, multiverse what-if type things happening on Disney Plus. So that's my guess, but you never know. They could surprise and just be like, fuck it, here's a Captain Carter movie. It's going to make $1 billion. And, of course, the Guardians of the Galaxy holiday special is headed our way. James Gunn was taking some questions on Twitter and has said that it takes place between the new Thor film and the next Guardians movie. So that's where it falls in the Marvel timeline. But he also did mention that not every member of the team is in the holiday special. He did not say who was not there, but I will be curious to see which member of the Guardians is a no-show. In my head, it's Chris Pratt, but I could also see it being Drax, because Batista was having some issues over there, especially with how they treated James Gunn. So I could see maybe Drax skipping it. I don't know. It's really a toss-up. It really is. So we shall have to wait and see who isn't in the holiday special. James Gunn said it's about as long as a Disney Plus movie, so you're probably looking at about 90 minutes. And it's canon to the MCU, and James Gunn also said it's a little crazy and silly, which, really, what else would you expect from James Gunn? I'd be disappointed if it was like, this is the most serious work I've done to date. I thought it was a good opportunity with the Guardians of the Galaxy holiday special to make a statement piece on how commercial the holidays have become. I just don't see, I don't see James Gunn ever doing that. Would be hilarious if he did, even if he just released that as a statement on Twitter, as a bullshit statement. But it's definitely something to look forward to. I have a feeling kids are going to fucking love it. So that's something. I don't have the exact release date yet on Disney Plus for that one. And that will just about do it. One more thing I wanted to mention. It doesn't really fall in any of the big three that we usually talk about. But Hulu dropped a trailer for Prey. It's more of a teaser, but it's a Predator movie that's just called Prey, which means a lot of people looking for Predator movies won't find it, but whatever. I didn't make the naming decision. Looks really good. Love the story. It's set 300 years ago, basically Predator versus Comanche, which I really like the idea of taking some sci-fi things and putting them back in time. I really think that done well, it can work effectively. The little teaser trailer was cool. Definitely amped up my excitement. So that is coming in August to Hulu in the States and Disney Plus elsewhere around the world. So something else to look out for. And that will do it for this week's edition of the show. Thanks again for spreading the word and following us on all our social media channels. Scotty Mars Show, Facebook, Instagram, at Scotty Mars on Twitter. And until we chat again, have a great week.